You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Amen, amen. Yeah, let's keep clapping. Who is excited that the Lord isn't done with you yet? Let's just hear a shout for that. That's good news. That's good news this morning. You guys can have a seat. Thank you guys for being here. And good morning. If you're new with us, I met a few of you new folks this morning. We are so, so glad that you're here. My name's Derek. I serve as the lead pastor, and we would love to help you get connected. The very best way that you can get connected is to just say, hey, I'm here, really to anybody. But on the way out after church, on the front steps is just a great time to just say, hey, I'm new here. And we would love to welcome you in. One of the best things you can do is grab a field guide. They're available out front, and they kind of show you all kinds of different ways that you can get connected here at Makers. Now, today is a really special Sunday. Today is going to be a little bit different in format than a typical Sunday. And what we're calling today is a milestone morning. And it's a time where we're just going to stop and pause and mark some moments, reflect on some really significant points in people's journey with Jesus. I love that song we just sang, that he's not done with us yet. And what we're doing is we're marking moments along several people's spiritual journeys because God is still up to something. He's still doing something in and through us. So we're going to celebrate some baptisms. We're going to celebrate commissioning some folks that have gone through our Cultivate discipleship pathway. And then we're going to invite all of you to partner with us in our week of service that kicks off today. And we're just excited about all of these things. So I want to reflect for a moment on this story in the Old Testament. It's this long-awaited moment where the Israelites are, they've been wandering around the desert under the leadership of Moses for 40 years. They've been delivered from Egypt. They have yet to cross into this promised land. And this is the moment where they're doing it. They're crossing the Jordan. They're moving from the land that was not promised or desired or wanted into the land that God had promised them. And it says this in Joshua 4. It says, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up the stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe. And he said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the place, to the people of Israel forever. And so we see God telling them, hey, remember this moment. Mark it. Stack some rocks. Put some stones together in a pile so that for generations to come, they might ask, what did God do? And that's really what we're doing this morning is we're stacking some rocks. We're creating some milestone moments that folks can remember and point back to in their journeys. And the first kind of thing that we're going to stack, some rocks that we're going to stack, is this moment of baptism. And so I just want to not preach. My timer's ticking. I'm going to talk for a few moments on what baptism is. I'm going to teach on baptism for a little bit because I think sometimes we do these like religious rituals and we don't pause to explain or talk about what they truly are and what they aren't. And so I just want to start by taking you where I'm going to end in this short segment. And I'm going to invite those of you who have not been baptized and have been waiting to get baptized and have been afraid to get baptized or have put it off or haven't planned accordingly, that today the water behind that screen is warm. And we believe in taking care of the earth and not wasting water, and that water would go to waste if you were here this morning and you know it's your time to get baptized, and you've just been reluctant or afraid or just hadn't planned accordingly, I'm going to invite you today to get baptized. And we have towels and clothes for you to do that. And if you either right now or throughout this short share feel the Lord prompting you that today's your day, I want you to go meet with Martha over here at the piano, and she's going to show you where to change and all of that. So we do have Bruxy that's going to get baptized in a moment. We're excited to celebrate that with him. But if you're here and you're like, man, I think now's the day. I think now's the time. It's not too late. And so you can go see Martha at any point. And I know you're thinking, but if I stand up, everyone will see me. They're going to see you anyways when we baptize you. So if you know now's your time, go see Martha. And by the time I'm done talking, I'm going to invite you again, and it won't be too late. So if you think it's now, come on, let's do it. So what is baptism? We often refer to baptism as the water grave. And I know that that's kind of a weird thing to talk about, but I want to read Romans 6, 3 through 11 to help us understand this. It says, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves as dead to sin, but alive in God, alive to God in Christ Jesus." So we see this idea of us before Christ and after Christ, that we see ourselves as dead and then alive as we say yes to Jesus. And what the baptismal does, what the water does, is it's this metaphor, it's this picture, it's this outward reality, it's an outward example of an inward reality, that before Christ we are quite literally dead because of our sin. And because we place our faith in Jesus, we die with him, we get raised into his resurrection. Now, I work as a firefighter, and one of the things that we do often is we respond to people with cardiac issues, the worst of which is cardiac arrest. And when someone is in cardiac arrest and they have a rhythm that is not sustaining life, one of the things that we do is we actually kill them so we could save them. And we use this technology called defibrillation. And what we do is we actually stop their heart because it's in a lethal rhythm. It's in a rhythm that is unable to sustain life. And instead of trying to patch them up or fix them or repair them, we actually kill them in a hope that they would their heart would have a chance to reset and come back to life. And it's amazing. It works often. And this is exactly what Jesus does in our lives. When we come to Christ, we are in a lethal rhythm. Our heart's in a lethal rhythm. And what Jesus does, he doesn't come to repair us or fix us. He actually kills us and then raises us to life. He transforms us with new life. And so we use this water grave as a metaphor, as an example of that. And it's this, also this opportunity for us to profess and to proclaim this to people who have not seen it on the outside, what has gone on the inside. Yeah. And it happens at the point of salvation. What baptism is not, it is not a point of salvation. It's a marker. It's a significant indicator of salvation. Salvation happens when we place our faith in Jesus Christ. It says, through Christ alone, in Colossians 1:19, it says, "For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." So it's important for us to know that it's not the water of baptism, but it's the blood of Jesus that brings salvation. It's the blood of Jesus that sanctifies us and transforms us and changes us. The water isn't holy, but it is sacred. It's a sacred moment in time in our spiritual journeys. It's a time for us to stack some rocks as a milestone marker in our faith journeys. And I think what's also unique about baptism is that it unites us as followers of Jesus. See, the reality is that when you say yes to Jesus, our lives still may look completely different. What God calls you to is very different than what he might call me to. But one thing he calls us all to in obedience is to be baptized after we've placed our faith in him. And the water unites us. It brings us all together. It's one of the only things that all followers of Jesus are called to do that is the same. We share it in common. Our journeys are unique. Our faith in Jesus doesn't standardize us, but the waters of baptism do unite us. In Galatians 3:26, it says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor male or female, for all are one in Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise." And so we see that this is this leveling field. It's this moment that brings us all and unites us together. It's a milestone moment. It's just as a ring does not make you married, right? It's a covenant that we make that makes us married. A ring signifies that we're married, and baptism does the same. It's not baptism that saves you, but it signifies it. It's a profession of your faith to declare that you are. And it's not magical, but it is deeply sacred. It's a point of identification. And I think this is the thing I want to kind of close with is it's amazing to me that so many times we have fear and trepidation and insecurity and uncertainty around what it might look like if we would actually identify ourselves with God, if we'd actually be marked as a person who follows Jesus. And we're afraid of that sometimes. And sometimes the profession of our faith through baptism is like it's an oh-no moment. But I think it's even more fascinating. Not that we would move ourselves to a place where we're willing to be identified with God. But baptism is actually a moment where God is being willing to be identified with us. And I don't understand that. I don't comprehend that, why God, who's perfect, would choose to be identified with those of us who are far from it. But he does. And he says, baptism is a moment not only where you identify with me, but it's a moment where I get to profess to the world that I identify with you. And that's a profound moment in our journeys. And so I know you might be wondering, like, when is the right time to get baptized? And what we see throughout the scriptures is that it's like immediately after people place their faith in Jesus, they go and get baptized. We see it happening all in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. We've been reading a lot of this stuff in the last several weeks as we've talked about the church beginning. And you see people, then they come to faith, and all of a sudden, boom, they go and they get baptized. And so there's never a too early of a moment. It's faith in Jesus, you're qualified to get baptized. In fact, the scriptures call us to it. Now, I know some of you feel like, I've placed my faith in Jesus a long time ago, and I just never got baptized. I never did it. I never really comprehended it or knew it. And it's not that it's too late. But if you've placed your faith in Jesus, the time is now. The time is now to mark that. And then the most important part is the question of where. Where should I be baptized? I have a friend at work who I've been working with for a long, long time. And to be honest, friend is a loose term because we've gone toe-to-toe over many things in the past, and acquaintance would be like, probably more of a quite proper word to use, co-worker. And through kind of a love-hate relationship, we've actually grown to love each other because God can do that kind of thing. He can change hearts. He clearly changed mine. And he reached out to me just a couple months ago, and he said, "Hey, would you baptize me?" And I was like, "Man, that would be amazing." And he was like, yeah, just, I said, yeah, like, we have one coming up. You could come. He's not here. He was like, no, I don't want to do it in front of a bunch of people. Could you come to my house and baptize me in my pool? And I had a conversation with him, and I said, man, that's not what baptism's for. Baptism isn't this moment that's meant to be private. It's a public declaration of your faith. And so he's buffering on that. And he is part of a church, and I said, hey, you should really think about getting baptized at your church in front of the community that you're a part of. Because that's one of the most significant parts of it. It's our faith is personal, but it is not private. Our faith is meant to be declared and professed and shared. And so the most important thing is that we do it with our family of believers. And so that's just a quick crash course into baptism. It's still not too late if you would like to be baptized. You can come and see Martha. The screen is going to rise, and we're going to baptize Bruxy Celeberti. His parents are going to baptize.
Amen. You're all going to have a seat. Congratulations again to Bruxy and the whole Celeberti family. That's amazing. Milestone morning. We're going to continue with another milestone in just a moment related to our Cultivate thing here at Maker's Church. So not yet. In a second, I'm going to invite two folks up, our latest to go through what is our spiritual development and discipleship pathway called Cultivate. And Cultivate is a relational, formational journey designed specifically to help us grow spiritually, to connect more deeply, and to live more fully in Christ. And why the word cultivate? It's this earthy, organic, nature-y, farmy. Is that a word? It's like a farmy, gardeny term. And this concept is found all throughout scriptures. And Jesus is using it constantly, talking about planting and watering and growing. He even compares the kingdom of God to a garden, to a mustard seed, this tiny seed that gets planted. And this giant tree flourishes and blossoms, and all the birds can rest it in its branches. And even tying into what Derek said about water grave, Jesus said, unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, you cannot grow and reap a harvest. And so we've chosen this cultivate language because of that. One of my favorite verses, which is an anchoring scripture for this, is in John 15. Jesus himself said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, if you rest in me, if you learn to live in me, you will bear or produce much good fruit. So ultimately, what cultivate is it's a place where we learn to abide in God's love. There's teaching that happens, there's mentoring, there's all these cool things you can learn, but it's less about that. It's more about you discovering who you are in God, who you were designed to be, who you are in relationship, and through that discovery, realizing this flourishing that's offered to us. One other thing about Jesus that connects to cultivate, you see so many times in the Gospels when people come to him and they say, hey, rabbi, teacher, first of all, who are you? Are you the Messiah? Are you this chosen one? What are you here to do? How do I have life? How do I live? All these questions come to Jesus. And more often than not, his response was, come and see. Come and see. I love that. I don't know if anyone else was raised on Reading Rainbow as a kid. It's one of my favorite shows, LeVar Burton. He would always, at the beginning of the episode, describe some incredible story or book they were going to go through, and it sounded so amazing. And then he would say, but don't take my word for it. Go read it for yourself. And I love how Jesus did the same thing. They'd come to, who are you? What are you about? How do I live? And his response was, come and see. Walk with me for a while. Journey with me. Observe, listen, experience. And then decide for yourself. It reminds me of the psalm where David said, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so cultivate this spiritual formational journey is an opportunity for us to experience God, to walk a while with him, to taste and see that the Lord is good. And I think that's such a special thing that God invites us into. There's no sales pitch. There's no obligation. It's merely an invitation to come and see and live.
You are listening to the Maker's Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.